أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome once again to Radio Islam on Midway 1548. And yes, we are going with our Q&A program with Mufti Abdul Hussein Diaz. Mufti Sabin is in the studio with us today, alhamdulillah, after a long time. And we welcome Mufti Sabin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Nice to see you back, Mufti Sabin, after a long, very long time.
I think about 40 days. The people said I went out for 40 days. Alhamdulillah, it's very good to be back.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, just to remind our listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. Mobile number for tonight, 082-356-5988. Alternatively, you can email us on a@radioislam.co.za. That's 854-1548. If you are calling from abroad, it's +27118541548. And then the mobile number once more, 082-356-5988. Okay, let's go for the first question on the mobile. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Is it permissible for a woman to work and she has nobody to support her?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Concerning females and working, first of all, we must realize and understand that Allah Jalla Majdahu has created a man, male and female. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has placed certain differences in the male and female, psychological, mental, biological, physical. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has subsequently placed certain responsibilities and duties upon the male and not upon the female, and certain duties and responsibilities upon the female and not upon the male. Certain things the male can do, the female cannot do, and the female can do, and the male cannot do. Bringing up children, giving birth to children, rearing children, upbringing of children, cleaning children, educating children, and caring for the household. When we come to realize that the roles are different, responsibility is different, therefore the education has to be different so the end result can be addressed. We unfortunately, especially in South Africa, we are being bombarded by the educational, secular educational system of the enemies of Islam, and it is a batil system of education which we have taken more benefit of than Islamic education. As a result, they have indoctrinated us, and they have to such an extent brainwashed us that we have now altered the roles of male and female and female and male, and we now think that the females have to go and slog and slave and toil for the male, all in the name of liberty, equality, freedom. As a last resort, the female will be allowed to go and work, and that is also a default on us when we do not have our socio-economical infrastructure in place. We as Muslims, if we have got our socio-economical infrastructure in place with our zakat lillah funding, then there will be no widow going out to go and work and going out there into the lion's den of immorality and immodesty. However, if she is forced to go out to work, then she will adorn the Islamic dress and be modest and look for certain specified work wherein her iman and dignity and modesty is not jeopardized, and she should be constantly seeking an alternative.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Let's take our first caller for tonight. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Sahab, I just need to know the Sharia ruling regarding breastfeeding whilst being pregnant, and is there a specific cut-off period? JazakAllah, can
okay.
I listen on the air?
JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, Mufti Sahab, let's see this question.
First of all, that depending on your health, and this will be assessed by yourself, most important by yourself first, aided by a Muslim Allah fearing practitioner who will advise you to continue or not. If both are positive and you can continue, and if you want to continue, you may do so. That means whilst you are expecting and breastfeeding. The cut-off time for breastfeeding is 2 years. That is the cut-off time. So the suckling period duration is 2 years. But according to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, that to prove Rizat, that is 2.5 years. So do not get confused with the 2.5 year figure and 2 years. Cut off time is 2 years. But to prove that this child has been breastfed by that lady, that is 2.5 years. After 2.5 years, the relationship cannot be proven by a sucker. Gee.
Okay, let's go on to the next SMS question that we have here. It says, Assalamu alaikum, dear Mufti. Can I read the Hajj Salah at 2 a.m. if I have not fallen off to sleep and I am wide awake?
Remember, the Hajj Salah, the sawab can be obtained like how general Muslims do it, that two nafil, two sunnah, two nafil, three witr, two nafil. That two nafil in the end, that intention can be made of tahajjud salat also. Because minimum rakats of tahajjud is 2, maximum is 12. The principle or the usul as far as tahajjud is, the closer towards sehri, the more rewarding. Because night has been divided into 3 parts according to some scholars, 6 parts according to some scholars. Now, that closer to sehri, that is the best time of tahajjud. Why? Because that is when there is the state of peace, serenity, tranquility. One is focused on Allah Jalla Majdahu. So, at 2 a.m., you are awake. You can, alhamdulillah, perform salat and classify it and make intention of tahajjud. Allah will reward tremendously.
Okay, same SMS, different question. It says, secondly, my daughter is in love with a Christian boy. Can she marry him even if he converts, even if we are, as parents, totally unhappy?
3 issues here. That first of all, how that happened? This relationship, how it took place, when it took place, why it took place. First of all, you should look into that, and we all should be thinking about this, that how this relationship was struck up, when, what led it, what are the causes. And in this specific question, they should address it seriously. And what exposure led to this relationship? That's one issue. Secondly, that if the person converts and they want to get married, it is legal, it will be valid. Thirdly, that you should first of all explain the pros and cons of such an activity. Notwithstanding that, if they are still adamant, then it is better to get them married and accept the issue. The water is gone under the bridge, and it is now no use crying over spilt milk. Be positive and look forward.
Okay, going on to the next question. We have, okay, let's take the first, second caller we have for tonight. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Saf as well. I have 2 questions. My first question is, my dad reads Farz Salah in Jamaat at the masjid, but he reads the sunnahs either before or after in the Nafil Salah at home. Would this be permissible? And my second question is, the Egyptian soccer team performs sajda whenever they score a goal. Is this permissible, or is it just making a mockery of the deen? Jazakallah.
Okay, Jazakallah for the sister. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, let's take those 2 questions and then further, we'll go further on the telephone, inshallah.
First of all, that the father is performing salah in the masjid, that is gaining and earning tremendous reward. And we should all make every effort that we should make our salah with jama'ah in the masjid or in the jama'at khana nearest to us. And we should go ourselves and encourage others. So you should be grateful that in this age the father is going to the masjid and not somewhere else. As far as performance of sunnah at home and coming back from masjid and performing it in the home, that is also rewarded greatly. Why? Because that is the original method. In the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the system. Faraz was performed in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sunnah etc. was performed at home. These days, why we perform in the masjid? Because generally, if you go home, that because of the home environment, etc., etc., the person will get engaged in and engrossed in other activities, vain and futile in most of the cases, and forget to perform the sunnah and the nafil. So, by him performing at home is very good. Why? That will also encourage the household members to see what salat is about, especially the young ones, and also they themselves will be encouraged to perform salah. The second part of the question, how you know that the Egyptian football side is performing sijda? These people are performing sijda in short pants. And understand this, that they are to various things and various levels of activities. Islam, if you have to summarize it in two words, is pray and pay. And the ideology of the kuffar, work and play. If you look at we as Muslims, we making salat, going for Hajj Umrah, making Quran tilawat, and alhamdulillah we are giving zakat, sadqatul fitr, kafara, fidya, charity, lillah. So we are either praying or paying for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Majdahu. The enemy of Islam, materialistic, slogging, slaving, working like an animal, and when he comes back, then he is playing cricket, soccer, football, netball, badminton, tennis. He is playing. So he is working or playing. This is the kuffar system. And this is their syndrome. Their syndrome is work play. Our syndrome is pray pay. And to play and encourage and support sport on that level, I want to know which Mufti said it's permissible. And they are, as you have stated correctly, they are not doing any service to Islam by falling into prostration. These people are misled and misleading. So by kissing the ground or going into sijda, and we've been informed also that others, cricketers, etc., they also after scoring centuries go onto the ground and make sijda. This is a fine display of mockery of Islam. We should not worry about these ignoramuses. Ji.
Rahmullah Father Musa, let's take the next question. It's okay, I think we have one more call. Let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just to Mawlana Yuzman, I have a staff that was working for me, right? He's a non Muslim, and he'll end up in hospital at the TB. Can I make dua for him, or I visited him at the hospital and I didn't know what to say? I'll hear the answer on the over the phone.
Okay, JazakAllah for that. Assalamu alaikum.
Allah Jalla Majdahu reward you, and you should be very helpful and courtesy, and you should be supportive, and you also can make dua. You can make dua for his health, and you can make dua for his well-being. You can make dua for his iman and guidance. And you can now, at this stage, you can be very supportive and helpful so that he sees the beauty of Islam. Islam has spread, not via the sword, as propaganda has it, but Islam has spread via personality, character, justice, fair dealing, good political administration, and excellent economical principles, and well-structured social behavior patterns. So you have done right, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. It says, when making wudu, is it permissible to dry your face and arms? That's before washing your feet.
If you have got any medical problem, then you may do so. But if you're doing it without any valid Sharia excuse, it is not too good to do so. Ji.
Okay, we have two callers online. Let's take the first caller. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Jesus, sir.
Can you hear me?
Ji, loud and clear.
Firstly, I'd like to ask Maaf for the last time I called, and I didn't realize because of being so nervous. I didn't realize to make salam the second time. And I wanted to know about your surahs after the first salah. Can you read them any time, or do you have to read them after the first salah? And I wanted to know about Luban, the purpose of it. And while reading your after first salah, your zikr and your surah, can you move your legs, or do you have to keep them in the position that they're supposed to be? The other day, I made Isha Namaz, and only halfway through did I realize, coming out of the bath, I didn't make my wudu. And the last one, there is a CD, a DVD, on Pray As You Seen Me Pray, about the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The gentleman making namaz puts his hand on his chest and not at the navel. I wanted to know if this is right. That's all. Jazakallah.
Okay, Jazakallah. So that's Assalamu Alaikum. Can I see the first call to be able to? Okay, no other calls. See those questions.
First of all, that Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of us, and also from our side we overlook and forgive that non-giving of salam, and we should make it a habit of greeting. As far as the surahs are concerned, when you have done your farz, then you do not have to now make the sequence or follow the sequence in all your remaining sunnat and nawafil, meaning that if you have started, for example, the first rakat of nafil salat from alam tara, that means that you do not have to now continue. Every two units will be regarded as separate, so you can just follow the sequence in those two or the three rakats. It does not have to, once you have given the salam in the case of the Isha, after the Isha Salah, then the sequence does not apply, is no longer applicable. As far as the Loban, the purpose of Loban is to not to chase any jinnat or jadu or take out nazar or evil eye or black magic. It is just a custom that has come down, and we should regard it as such, just as a mere custom and ritual, and not as any religious significance or ceremony. And we should not have this, that when the sun sets we are going to put the let the Loban light, or on Thursday night we will put Loban. No, we should no have no restrictions on this, no parameters on this, no boundaries on this, no limitations on this, no specifications on this. No religious connotations per se on it. Just to create a good fragrance, It's absolutely permissible to light the loban. Now, we have translated one book but not published it. It is called Masnoon Askar. All the du'as that are supposed to be recited after every Farz Salah. Inshallah, one day we will publish it. However, whatever you are reading after the Farz and Sunnah, that you may do so, and you do not have to remain in the same posture as Salat. That means after performing your Salah, now you want to make zikr of Allah Jalla Majdahu, you can alter your position and get yourself in a comfortable position that what you prefer and like, and then make your zikr. That you do not have to be in the Salat At-Tayyiyat position for ladies. This is a lady asking, or the men too, you don't have to be in that position. You can get into a comfortable position and make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, after you had a ghusl and then you did no wuzu and performed salah, the ghusl suffices, provided you made a ghusl. And because the wuzu is contained within the ghusl, so by making the ghusl, wuzu automatically has been made, and alhamdulillah, your salat is valid. In that DVD that you saw, and the person is holding the hands on the chest, that is according to the Shafi Mazhab, and according to the Hanafis, it will be just above the ankles, just above the navel. That is according to the Hanafi school of thought.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. Just to remind listeners, lines are open, 854-1548. Mobile number 0823565988. We have another call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I've got two questions for Mufti Sahib. Is it permissible for a Muslim to make dua for a non-Muslim's recovery? And the next question is, which are the 10 animals which will enter into Jannah? Jazakallah.
Assalamu rahmatullah. Okay, let's take those questions. Any other callers? Let's take the question, Mufti Sahib.
First one, that yes, it is permissible to make dua for a non-Muslim for his recovery. This is a repeat question for the night. And yes, you can make dua for the iman, guidance, hidayat, tawfiq for the person, recovery for that person. And as far as the second question, that which 10 animals are going to go to Jannah, then perhaps phone some quiz program, maybe you get answer there.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. We have a question on the screen here that says, what's the best dua for a woman to read while cooking for the hidayah of her family?
First of all, that utilize all halal ingredients should be utilized. So that's a precondition, whether for hidayat or no hidayat, because halal food in the system will produce halal results. And a person having halal in the system will be easily attracted to pure, wholesome, good, celestial, divine talks. Secondly, that while cooking, any zikr of Allah Jalla Majdahu can be recited, and recitation of Durood Sharif can be done. So whilst the actual cooking is being done, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue and heart and mind, and making dua simultaneously, then inshallah the result will be what you want.
Okay, let's go on to the next question. It says, please, we have another call on line. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Jee, brother.
Yeah. I've got a question to ask.
Okay.
I'm looking after my mother, who is 80 years old, and she's becoming senile, and she's given me power of attorney over all her affairs. Now, at the moment, I take care of her needs, pay all her accounts, and buy her stuff and whatever she needs. But she's got her own money, and I'm a bit scared of how I'm allowed to use it. So what I wanted to know from Mufti Sahib is to what extent can I use the money, and if I can use the money for myself, let's say, for instance, I haven't got any money and I use it. That's all I would ask.
Okay, JazakAllah for the question. Assalamu alaikum.
First of all, we make dua for the brother. And he should know fully well, and all those who are caring for their elderly. And the brother is saying that the mother is 80 and she's going senile. And to care for the parent at that age is rewardable, laudable. And the person will only know how much sawab when one closes the eyes. And this is a tremendous jihad, that to care for someone who is losing and becoming senile, losing the sanity. As far as the financial monetary aspect is concerned, then you are like the guardian of a child. You are like the guardian of the child. And that means you will utilize the fund, because you said she has got her own money, you will utilize the funds for her upkeep, her betterment, her ease and comfort, her food, clothing, her betterment. And whilst in the process of doing that, you run into some financial difficulty, then it will be allowed for you to, as per need and necessity, to spend upon yourself. Because by spending as per need and requirement on yourself, it will allow you to take care of her. Because you cannot be, for example, starving and she is eating. Because when your health deteriorates, you will not be able to care and look after her. On the other hand, you cannot lavishly squander her money, and you cannot be extravagant on spending on her, and more so on yourself for your sustenance and maintenance. So you will be spending especially on yourself as per need and requirement. It is permissible for you to spend her money, which she has signed off by power of attorney, for you to utilize. You can spend it on your behalf, but as per need. Ji.
Okay, we have three other callers online. There's a lot of callers coming today, alhamdulillah. Let's take the first call. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
Ji.
I have two questions for Mufti Sahib.
Okay.
My first question is, I want to know the procedure for istikhara salah. And I want to know which the road you read when you pass away, then there will only be a window between you and the Rasul Salam.
Okay. Is that all you have?
Okay.
Okay, JazakAllah for this call. Assalamu alaikum. Let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum to Mufti Sahib. I just have three questions, if you would allow me. The first question is, Mufti Sahib, could you just give us a brief interpretation of the fount of Kawthar, and who will be allowed in this at this particular place? And also, if there is any truth that people who innovate things will not be allowed access to this fount of good or this fount, you know. And then further it is said something, and then mention is made in the hadith, which Mufti Sahib could please explain, because I find it hard to interpret, that there will be tumblers as much as the number of stars. So Mufti Sahib could just elaborate that, which is a bit difficult to interpret from the hadith itself in Sahih Muslim, which I've read. I'll appreciate that. The second question I have is, in our locality, some believe, I've spoken to a brother, there's something new that I've heard, I don't know if Mufti Sahib can, if there is any such thing, but they believe that on the 13th and the 14th, the Arsh of Allah, angels serve durood and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That happens every month on the 13th and the 14th. You know, I don't know why specifically. He says he couldn't give me an answer as to where he got this, but he got it from a kitab. That's all he told me. And my last question is on the point of nazar. if Mufti Sahib just tells the English meaning of it, because obviously when you speak of a baby, you say it's a mashallah child, it's a good child, and then suddenly when someone comes home, he says, no, you have to take out nazar, because many people have been complimenting the child. Now, whether this method is permissible, this is what I would like to know from Mufti Sahib, where they take calico to the length of the baby, and then they cut that calico from head to toe, and light it with a match, and then they say that if the Arabic inscriptions appear on this while the flames are up, then it means that the child has an evil eye. Obviously, there are du'as that Mufti Sahib has mentioned previously about removing evil, but is this a method that is acceptable?
Jazakallah for the brother. Just hold on the line, or engineer will take your telephone number. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum. Let's take the next call. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Hello.
Ji, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum.
Ji, brother, you on air?
Ji, I got one question for the Mufti Sahib.
Okay.
In the masjid, a few people get together in the Thursday night and read the Durood Sharif. It is permissible.
Okay, is that all you have? Any other questions?
No, only that one.
Okay, Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum. Ji, Mufti Sahib, let's take those questions. No other callers. I think we have one more call. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Brother, can you switch off your radio at the background?
Hello.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I just want to know, ask for this up. Is this belief correct that if you keep artificial flowers in the house, like you know, pot plants with artificial flowers, and the angels don't come in the house? And is it true? That's one question. And the second question is Allahumma khair li waqtar li, is it a form of istikhara dua? Like, can you make quick decisions? Can you make that? Can you make that dua? And that's all. I was going to ask Jazakallah.
Okay, Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. Okay, Mufti Sahib, let's still take those questions. A lot of questions came through.
Okay. Let's go from the last call, if you allow me.
Okay.
First of all, that dua, yes, you can use it for a quick istikhara, that is permissible. Secondly, that artificial flowers, you can keep it, it is permissible to do so, and there is no such thing as angels will not enter the house wherein there are artificial flowers. That is something which is not substantiated. And as far as to gather specifically on one night, for example, whether it's Monday or Thursday, in the masjid for recitation of Durood Sharif, then this will be giving specification for a non-specific activity. For example, that to visit the graveyard is permissible, laudable, but to specify that I'm going to go only Shab-e-Barat night, or I'm going to go before Eid or after Eid Salah, that means you have given specification for what has not been specified. And that is an innovation. And to gather and to call people will extend the severity of innovation. The first caller, then I will answer those caller who had 3-4 questions. Istikhara, simple, that we have written what kitab you email me, because our website is down at the moment, that muftie@mweb.co.za. I will send you the istikhara dua, basically to read 2 rakat salah, and then salat of istikhara and salat of need, pleading to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the place where you have to mention the amr or the activity or the affair on hand, you think about what you have to make istikhara about. After that, you sleep. And not necessarily you're going to see the malaika coming to tell you, or you're going to see a vivid dream. Inclination of the heart when you get up will indicate to you what should be done, and this should be done over 7 days. And that durood, which you read, and there'll be no barrier between you and Jannat, etc. I do not know If someone else knows, can inform us, inshallah. As far as the brother, he had questions about the Hawza Kawthar. First of all, the Hawza Kawthar, Allah Jalla Majduhu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be giving water, and also his aides, those who helped him. And this obviously will be the close Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, will be those who are helpers and aiders. They will help him distribute the water to those who were following the path of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And definitely comes clearly in the hadith that those who innovated and made things part and parcel of deen, they also will be going towards the Hawza Kawthar, and a barrier will be brought in between them and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on inquiry, because the angels will be telling them, pushing them away, go away, go away, for verily you have innovated. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on questioning, will be replied that these are those people who innovated after your demise and brought things into deen which was not part and parcel of deen. So innovation is deplored, and it is abominable to such an extent that one will be deprived of the water of Kawthar. That is why we should not treat innovation lightly, and we should, as a rule, abstain from that which is not proven and stay away from bidah. As far as tumblers numbering the stars, this is a method of expression. Like a person comes to you and then you relate, he asked me 101 questions. He never asked 101, he asked a lot of questions. So by talking about the stars, because the stars are so many in number, so this is showing quantity, so many. Like generally, in the hadiths, it is stated 70,000 angels. Now this figure 70,000, commentators state, it is to show kasrat, to show quantity, and to show how much, great amount. Not necessarily specifically restricted, limited to 70,000, but showing that, let alone 70,000, much more than that. So stars also there to show quantity. And we, as I explained, that these tumblers will be handed over to the Muslims by the aiders and supporters of deen, and especially Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, and all those who gain proximity to Allah Jalla Majdahu. As far as that the Malaika were near the Arsh of Allah Jalla Majdahu, recitation of Durood Sharif on the 13th and 14th of every Islamic month, this has to be documented and substantiated in order to be clarified. As long as there is no substantiation and authentication, we cannot make any comment on it. So we will say at this stage that until further investigation and proof brought and references brought forward, we will not regard it as authentic. Now, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in one hadith, Al-Ainu Hakkun, meaning, and this is the translation of Nazar, that the evil eye is truthful. And this does not mean that, for example, as the questioner mentioned, when people come to see a newborn baby, that you do not have to be afraid. This immediate solution and immediate remedy and treatment for those who come and praise the baby or any good activity, as soon as you mention any praise of Allah, any sifat of Allah, quality of Allah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah, now immediately upon the person saying, oh, what a nice beautiful baby, and you say Alhamdulillah, then inshallah no nazar is going to fall upon that baby. So on one side, yes, there is such thing as evil eye, And on the other side, deen is easy, practical, simple. Has given us a remedy. Praise Allah Jalla Majdahu. He is the creator, nourisher, provider. And immediately, alhamdulillah, result is seen. As far as the calico, etc., and then you see Arabic writing on it, this I have to see, actually, then to comment on it. For now, use what has been stated, that blow on the child, use the Mu'azzatain, the last two surahs, if you can recite it once or three times or one time, alternatively, first, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, or Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq, then Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, and then you can blow on the child. That is the safe, easy, prescribed method.
Okay, JazakAllah for the Muftisar. Let's go on to the next question. Can Mufti please tell me a dua or something to read so that I can get married soon? It says, and I have a boy that I am interested in, but his father says he is too young.
In the reception, I think they have got copies of our unpublished work, and it's actually a translation. It's called Seeking a Spouse. So come to the radio station and ask them at the reception for that book. Or that read 1,111 times Ya Latiful Khabir, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide your suitable spouse.
Okay, going on to the next question, it says, is it permissible to invest on a stock exchange?
What is permissible to buy is permissible to sell. So what is permissible to buy under normal circumstances for a Muslim will be permissible to buy on the stock exchange.
Next question is going on to Mufsab. It says, can we use perfumes with alcohol and can we read Salah with these on?
As far as our research goes, that those canisters that contain perfume. First of all, understand one rule, that beautification for the man lies in fragrance, and decoration and beautification for the female lies in color. Unfortunately, the ladies want to put perfume and walk around. That is why the hadith is talking about how deplorable and how detested are they in the eyes of Allah when they leave their homes after applying perfume. As far as these canisters are concerned, that we have been informed that the alcohol content there is for preservative purposes. And on pressing the nozzle, the alcohol evaporates. So it is permissible to utilize that. And as far as the roll-ons are concerned, we should abstain. Although the salat after that will be permissible and valid.
Okay, a couple married for a few years, gave talaq after a year. They got back together and living together. It is halal.
If they divorced once or twice and got back together, then that is permissible. And that is good, rewardable, because reconciliation is what we want. But if they divorced talaq e mughallaza, that means three times, and then got together without the ex-wife remarrying someone else, and then be divorced from that someone else, and spending the iddat period, that means twice iddat, one from the husband, the first husband, and the second iddat from the second husband, and then remarrying the first husband, if that procedure was not adhered to, then they are living in sin, total sin, major sin.
Okay, going on to the next question. Please give a short dua for istikhara.
The dua, what was the dua the brother mentioned in the starting?
Allahumma inni astaghfiruk.
Yes, let's repeat that here.
اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك. It's a lengthy one, Professor. Quite lengthy one. اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك وأستغفرك.
No, no. Yes, that first part. That's all.
اللهم إني أستخيرك بعلمك.
Yes. That's the short dua that you want to read. You can recite the dua that Maulana has recited. Yeah.
Okay, going on to the next question. Is it permissible to go to the Ansar Souq? They intermingling in other un-Islamic activities.
As far as going to any bazaar, whether it be the bazaar mentioned in the question, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the worst of places are the bazaars, and the best of places on the surface of the earth are the masajid. Now this does not mean that the bazaar refers to Muslim bazaar or non-Muslim bazaar. It means bazaar. And the reason why a person goes to the bazaar is to purchase essential things, necessity. So to frequent the bazaar without any cause, without any justifiable cause in itself, whether this is run by Muslims or non-Muslims, is not good at all. And if it is for any ulterior sinful motivation, whether it is a Muslim bazaar or non-Muslim bazaar, then it is deplorable and sinful in nature. And whether the bazaar is run by Muslim or non-Muslim, in every bazaar you have un-Islamic activities going there, and you have intermingling of sexes going there, gender mixing going there, and a person should go if he is wants to go out of necessity and need, then it is permissible to go, and to avoid as far as possible touching females, and as far as possible not to waste unnecessary time there in futile vain activities. So on one side it is permissible, but on the other side, that one should not forget that I am a Muslim and I should adhere to all the laws of Islam, irrespective of whether this bazaar is been controlled and administered by Muslims or the enemies of Islam. Gee.
Okay, next question going on to it says, if a widow marries again, which husband will she be with in Jannah?
The one that she likes most.
Okay, next question. I think final question. Sir, is there any dua that a person can read to find employment?
Let me just elaborate on the first question, then I'll mention this one. See, in Jannat, understand something. In Jannat, there is no quality of jealousy, hatred, malice. Now, that question has arisen. For example, a person may say that he had four wives. Which one is going to be there? And then he divorced two of them. Now, what's going to happen? On the other hand, a female may say one husband, then another husband, because first husband passed away. And then the female may discuss in this manner, that one husband divorced, and then second husband, but she don't really like the second husband. First husband was better in some way. But all this comes about because we are subjective. And the quality of jealousy, hatred, and love fluctuation, all that is in the heart. But these qualities are not in Jannat. The quality of jealousy, hatred, the quality of enmity, malice, all are not present in Jannat. So there'll be no such thing as my heart is going to feel the quality of jealousy. So whatever will be given, will be so excited and so happy and so pleased that these things will not even come flashing in our minds. A person, he after Fajr Salah should read 70 times Surah Lila fi Quraysh, and then make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, the person will get a job. Another thing, a person can read Inni Maghloobul Fantasir repeatedly, person will inshallah get job. And person can read 2 rakat Salatul Hajat, plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person inshallah will get job. Person can also read La Hawla wa la Quwwata illa Billahi al-Aliyyil Azim. He can read this in abundance, inshallah, person will get job. person also can read Surah Muzammil and make dua. Person, inshallah, will get job.
Okay, Mufti, I think this is our last question. A lot of our questions on the SMS, but inshallah, we'll get to them next, Wednesday, next week. A lot of callers came in today, alhamdulillah, a lot of questions came in. And a lot of questions on the screen as well. Some nasiha from your side, inshallah, Mufti.
Alhamdulillah, I've noticed that in some areas, there's a lot of voluntary work as far as cleaning the graveyards are concerned. And this is very good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward those who are administrating it and sponsoring it and also supervising it and coordinating it. This is a very noble activity to keep places clean and hygienic and also presentable. Because a person going there should be remembering death and not worried about how the graveyard looks. And on one side, we have got this activity which should be done in every area, no matter how small or big that graveyard is. It should be well kept, maintained, neat, tidy, presentable. And also that if perchance some graves, they sink because of flooding, because of weather conditions, because of movement of soil, then the Sharia allows that you can get sand and fill. And it is not necessary that you have to use sand from that very same graveyard. You can, if need be, purchase sand and top up the graves that have sunk. We do not have to wait for sand from other graves. No, you can purchase sand and top up those graves. Secondly, there is also now a habit and pattern to plant over the grave that is permissible. Try to look for those plantations or those plants that are all season, meaning that even if the weather conditions are not favorable, they, alhamdulillah, they remain evergreen. It is nothing proven that you have to have a specific type of plant on the grave. That I have not seen as yet, that you have to have a specific type of plant on the graves. Yes, evergreen plant on the grave, that is permissible. If you do not plant also, that is permissible. Also, that do not waste your money by throwing, after purchasing, flowers on the grave. Because that is a futile activity. It hasn't been proven. Also, that take that money, purchase some fruit, go give it to the hospital. Go give it to poor, needy, destitute, Muslim, non-Muslim. And make intention that you want to make Isale Sawab for the deceased. That is definite you will get reward. You will get reward for that noble good action. And for whom you are doing it, they will also get reward. But by doing a futile exercise like this vain activity of buying the flowers and throwing it onto the grave, that is not proven. That is all a waste of money, time, energy and effort. So abstain from those things that are not rewardable and do those things that are proven. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the ability to stay with Iman, live with Iman, be with Iman, and pass away with Iman and be resurrected with Iman. Jazakallah.
Inshallah, Jazakumullah for that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you barakah, inshallah, increase you in your knowledge.
Ameen.
Inshallah, and request to ask from you as well.
Jazakumullah.
Okay, that brings us to the end of our Q&A program of Mufti Abdul Hussein Ilyas. Until next week, inshallah, Mufti will be back next week with the Q&A program. And yes, alhamdulillah, we have learned much from Mufti. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again increase him in his knowledge.